Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report, chatting with Chris Temple a couple hours before the market close. But Chris, there's so much for us to talk about in terms of market moves. I've covered a lot of this stuff already today, but I do want to get your comments. Starting off with the U.S. equity markets, we're seeing a pretty significant pullback in the markets today, kind of on the back of what the markets took as good news yesterday with a delaying of the tariffs. But you know what? The markets still have this underlying bearishness, weakness that a lot of investors are really taking note of. What do you think about the almost 2.5% move down in U.S. equity markets across the board?
Well, look, in the first place, Corey, and I alluded to this yesterday, the markets grossly overreacted to the massaging of these new tariffs that was announced yesterday. If there was any doubt, Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, got on this morning, and I think he underscored that. Is there a chance that President Trump, if the stock market really came unglued and he had a lot of pressure on him, could flip and want to rush more in China's direction? Of course. This is a president who has demonstrated more times than we can count that he will act on a whim. But I don't see yesterday's delaying of some tariffs as any sign of that at all. I think the markets grossly misread that and made a lot more out of it than it really was. And again, Ross pointed that out this morning. So, you know, there could still be a change. It'll come later if everybody gets really nervous about this, but I'm not holding my breath. I think that the die has already been cast, and that, as Wilbur Ross repeated this morning, if there is not a deal like they thought they had in May, which requires accountability and transparency and a verifiable process, there will not be a deal. And China has already made clear that they have no intention of signing such a deal.
Yeah, that's actually what we were talking a lot about yesterday, too, is that even though the tariffs got pushed back, not like we heard any positive comments come out of any of the negotiations. Let's also talk about the Treasury market, though, because we have the 10-2 spread now inverted. Yields are really crashing again today. The 10-year, we're recording this, is at 1.59%. What do you think about the Treasury market? It's going to be forcing the Fed's hand, but now it's also definitely pointing to a recession a year to two out.
Well, when you say it's definitely pointing to a recession, I was talking to a colleague this morning, Corey, and I said, look, everybody's making a big deal, not that it shouldn't be made a big deal of this inversion in the yield curve. But frankly, it has about as much relevance now as does, you know, these death crosses or golden crosses when they come, whether it's on a stock or whether it's on a stock index or something like that. A lot of people look at such crosses. You know, a golden cross is when the 50-day moving average moves above the 200-day moving average. That is supposed to be a sign of bullishness. And of course, the opposite is the 50-day moving average going below the 200-day moving average. That's supposed to be your sign that things are not good, that things are bearish. And more often than not, those crosses, when they come after the fact. Most of the story is already baked in. You go look, folks, if you don't believe me, the chart of the S&P 500 and ask if at this point you want to wait until the 50-day moving average on the S&P 500 crosses below the 200-day before you sell. You're going to get your head handed to you if you wait for that confirmation. So in my view, and I've been saying this for quite a while, and especially more recently in my more notably bearish comments, that, again, the die has already been cast in what's going on between the U.S. and China. The die has already been cast as far as forces of recession and deflation globally. And the fact that you had for a couple of fleeting moments this morning a technical inversion of the yield curve just tells me what we already knew.
Yeah, that is fair. Now, can we also carry that over to what we're seeing in terms of more of the industrial metals and also the energy market? Copper was down today, crude down over $2. Doesn't this just all continue to point to weakness and fears in terms of global growth?
Well, it points to that, but here's what it also points to, Corey, is that we may be on the edge of all things that nobody wants to see, a spike higher in the U.S. dollar index. And that's going to really screw things up and put an exclamation point to what would definitely, in the aftermath of that, be exacerbated selling of commodities and global equities alike. So it's telling you both of those stories, that there's worries over global growth. There's worries, you know, and again, I think that you've got some algorithms. Clearly, when you did have that technical inversion, even though, you know, we were already to a pretty good extent positioned for that ourselves, nevertheless, you've got these computer algorithms that the instant that that yield curve inverted, they're hitting a sell button before the markets even opened up this morning. So likewise, I think that some of that probably spilled over into the commodity pits and added to the selling. It probably added to the upward momentum for the dollar. And this is where, and I said yesterday, and it's even more the case today, that never in its 106-year history has the Fed been more screwed than they are right now, because they don't want to jump in when we've got a 6%, give or take, decline from the top, or 7%, whatever it is. We don't even have a garden variety correction yet, for crying out loud, for the stock market. So they really don't want to have to hard charge into the market and cut rates 50 basis points in between meetings to try and take some of the steam out of the dollar and improve sentiment. Will they get dragged in that direction inevitably? 100% guaranteed they will. But the way they do it is going to say a lot about how worried they really are. And you know, I was talking to someone earlier and even made a comment on your blog this morning to someone talking about the dollar. They're really playing with fire. And I mean, this is one of the consequences of the world being on a dollar standard, of a lot of emerging markets and of China. Look at the god-awful pile of dollar-denominated net debt that Chinese companies have right now, which is about to blow up in everybody's face. So of all the crazy things, you've got a dollar shortage right now. One analyst this morning pointed out that in the swaps market, you're starting to see a little bit of stress right now. And I don't care what all of these, you know, the dollar is crashing and burning and is going to be replaced by the IMF and all this kind of stuff, what these jokers say, if you start to see things come apart at the seams, you'll be back up. And we haven't heard from Rick Ackerman in a while. I don't know if he's still got this, but if you had a debacle like we did in 2008 and things start to fall apart in Asia and whatnot, you forget about 100 on the U.S. dollar index. You'll get to that old 120 target of his.
Yeah, I remember Rick arguing that point, and I know he still sticks to it because he thinks a major deflationary event is right around the corner. Don't you think, though, that would bring the Fed into some sort of a rate cut that is more than just this quarter point rate cut if the dollar does truly start to get going?
Oh, hell yeah. They would have to do something massive, truly massive. And it would only interrupt, in my opinion, what has already been set in motion. This this could be around for a while, this global deflation and recession. They will have to do something that nobody expects to really scare the hell out of everybody that scrambled into dollars, and or make very clear that they are not going to stand by twiddling their thumbs and using a scalpel when a meat cleaver is required. So I would expect, and there's already some discussion of this, I don't think it's that serious yet. I'll be very curious to see what is said next week in Jackson, Wyoming, among these people, and if they release anything as far as what bright ideas they may have, when by all appearances it looks like they're just about out of tricks. But the Fed would have to do something massive, almost like peg a certain type of yield curve and tell the market that I don't care if we've got to talk about quadrillions, forget about trillions, quadrillions, we are going to do whatever it takes to re-steepen the yield curve and to bring the dollar down and make sure the global system is liquid. You've heard me quip before that at some point these central banks, all of them, including the Fed, will retire those proverbial helicopters of Ben Bernanke and break out the cargo planes. We're a lot closer to that point than I thought we were.
Now, when you say closer to that point, could we see that by the end of the year? Or is this something that comes more next year, more around the election? That could also kind of muddy the waters, too, in terms of major actions.
It depends on events, Corey. I mean, if the stock market manages to keep itself together, and I've said this a million times, the Fed will stand by and let nature take its course until they see the point at which you're starting to see the system seize up. When you hear anecdotes like this morning that the swaps markets can't find dollars, when you hear anecdotes about more banks and counterparties going bust in China, and things like this, if Deutsche Bank technically and in more overt fashion than the slow setting in of rigor mortis we've seen so far, if Deutsche Bank finally is acknowledged by everybody as being dead, that's when you're going to see these things happen. So it's going to be more of events than a timetable. So it's hard to answer that question, but is that kind of thing possible? Absolutely it is.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for the quick update in terms of what you're seeing. And again, just this underlying or overlying weakness in terms of U.S. markets and where investors have been shifting some of their money. Chris, have a great rest of your day. Thank you.